Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. Hello to everyone on Facebook Live watching, as well as to you listeners listening by audio. I am an intuitive psychotherapist, if you don't know that already. I'm also a Reiki healing practitioner. I'd love to connect with you as my listener. Go to my website, nolatherapy.com. It's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. And reach out to me. I'd love to know if you would like to be a guest on this show, or if you know someone for me to interview and how I could connect with them. I'd love to know any questions you want me to address, and I'd love to work with you as your intuitive healing practitioner. I do phone, Skype, FaceTime, and in-person sessions at either my Los Angeles office location, where I am today and for this several weeks during the holidays, and or in New Orleans. And I'd love for you to follow me on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, Nola Therapy, as well as a YouTube channel I started. Please subscribe and share it. I post these shows to it. It's also Nola Therapy. And then on Instagram, under Tahir, LCSW. And email me as well, if that's easier, lisa@nolatherapy.com. And I want to thank Audible as one of my sponsors. They offer you a free audiobook download of your choice by going to audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy. I'd also love for you to register your email at nolatherapy.com. I have a book coming out in 2019. The topic has to do with astrology, psychoastrology, actually, of healing our core wounds through empathy and self-forgiveness. And I'd love to be able to get that information to you as it unfolds for me. Okay, on to my guest today. She is really awesome. In just moments, we're going to be with Jackie Monahan. She's a comedian, an actor, writer, and producer. She's appeared in numerous places, including on VH1, Showtime, Comedy Central, and on Logo. Esquire magazine has voted her already best new comic. She was winner of Time Out New York's Joke of the Year. And we actually met several months ago at a showing of a movie that she was in called Wild Nights with Emily at the Ford Theater. We met at the concession stand, of all places. And this movie was written and directed by Madeline Olnick. And Jackie plays Emily Dickinson's sister, Lavina, alongside Molly Shannon, who portrayed Emily Dickinson. So Jackie has been called by Roseanne Barr a fucking genius. So with that, I would love to welcome you, Jackie, onto the show today.
Hi.
Hey, how are you today?
How are you? Good, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Where would you like
Excellent.
To start us on your work?
It's so funny, when you introduced it as you could watch us live, I was like, what? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's her, not me.
That's funny.
It's so funny. Madeline just texted in. But that was really funny. Also, I'm like, can you do the intuitive work via text? I know you can't, but I think it's funny.
Sometimes
but I didn't know you were an intuitive.
I am. Well, I can always text you intuitive messages. So, yeah, that could happen through text.
You really could?
Sure, if I get, you know, I think we're all intuitive, as I'm sure you can speak to, being a comedian and having to be live on stages, you know, when information
yeah.
comes through us, and just being able to disseminate that in whatever form.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I had to become intuitive for comedy. But
yeah.
I think I always was overly sensitive, which is amazing and terrible at the same time, but I've learned to control it.
Well, I know, and learning about you, that you learned as a really young girl about your sense of humor, and your mom and your friends would call you the little comedian. I was curious about how you discovered your gift and honed it over all the years.
It's interesting. I just would make my mom laugh. And then, yeah, just what you said, and I'd overhear people say, she's a comedian. I'm like, what's that? And then I figured out what it was. And my dad thought he was really funny. And everybody else thought he was really funny. But I didn't think he was funny because his humor was making fun of people. And everybody thought he was great, including him. And I just didn't get it. But I knew I was funnier than him. So I would make my mom, I did crazy things. I really did everything to make my mom laugh.
Like what?
And, like we would be at the grocery store and she'd be like, Jacqueline, pick out your cereal. And I'd be like, okay, just don't hit me again. And she couldn't react because if she was like, oh, I don't do that, people would be like, yeah, you do. Like she had to just laugh nervously. So I would do stuff, and anytime I saw a man with a mustache, I would scream, "Daddy, Daddy!" and I would run over and grab his leg. She wouldn't laugh during the while it was happening. She would be mortified, but when she would tell other people, everybody would die laughing, and I loved that.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to keep doing that. But all I mean, I think it's how I really I had a rough childhood. My parents were, and still are, alcoholics. And they're separated now, but it was rough. And I think that having a sense of humor just made everything bearable. So I really can, like, I've always been able to just really laugh at dark things, much to a lot of people's chagrin. But I am very loving at the same time. I don't know how to explain it, but some people take me the wrong way. But, yeah.
You know, I was curious as to, and it's making more sense hearing that there was some, that there were challenges in your childhood, that if you were to have a day job, you would want to be a therapist. And you do have a psychology degree from Rhode Island College.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about that love of psychology and therapy and just what that is about for you?
Because I always thought I had ADD and I was prescribed Adderall, but turns out I had PTSD and chronic anxiety. So I had chronic anxiety that everybody was giving me Adderall for. So I was just out of my mind anxious, but I covered it like nobody's business. Nobody would know I was anxious. Like I just covered it because I wanted people to think I was, not think I was cool, but I didn't want anybody to take advantage of me. I don't know. I intuitively somehow knew not to let anybody know how anxious I was. Not really even myself did I let myself know I was that anxious. And so I feel like it was for that, you know, for that those purposes to deal with my anxiety.
Meaning that drove you to study psychology to help you understand yourself?
Yeah, well, I couldn't sit down and study anything.
Okay.
And like, I was so anxious that I couldn't do it. So I either knew it or I didn't. And psychology, I always got A's in because I was extremely interested in it. The doctor, because I could always read, that was good, but studying I couldn't do. So I would read, I could read my homework for psychology and listen to the teacher a little bit and pass all the tests because I loved it. I was interested in it, but I didn't do good in other things. So psychology just became something that I went towards until there was math, then I was in a lot of trouble.
Oh, but, yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, that was a nightmare. But yeah, I love psychology and I still do. And I think being just a highly sensitive person, I've always been able to really relate to other people and I can always see people at their potential.
Yes. Well, and I'm thinking that
it's almost a detriment sometimes, like especially in relationships. I've gotten in relationships a lot seeing people's potential and not the what they are.
Yes.
You know?
And I think those mind tricks we play, thinking that they can develop into that potential, we might even help them reach that level within themselves.
Right. And right. Yet, where that's dangerous.
It is. It can be dangerous. Absolutely. You know, I think what you're doing as a comic really takes those is psychology and an offshoot of tapping into our collective, you know, even joking about things that are serious. It's a way to cope. It's a way to for self-care. And I know on occasion, sometime when you've dealt with serious issues, like I imagine anyone in your field, you're criticized from not understanding why you take certain serious topics and make light of them. How have you handled that?
Right. Yeah. It's been rough because I'm so sensitive but I've gotten a lot tougher about it. And not even tougher. Like I don't want to harden. I'm just more vulnerable and can take it more. Mm-hmm. I'm not blocked off in any way, but like people will take me the wrong way. And it's just like, no, I love all people. I want everybody unified. I want the world to be a great, loving place. I want to show people that helping other people is better than wanting to be one up on somebody else. That putting other people down to make yourself feel better doesn't work. That taking more for yourself over somebody else is never going to make you happy. Happiness is everybody being happy. Like, I'm all about that. So, but my comedy, you wouldn't know that from some people. They get mad at me, and I'm just like, oh, it's not what it's about. Like, I have a joke about, my friend has had a baby, but unfortunately her boyfriend took off on them. I was like, oh my God, he's a bastard. And she's like, yeah, he's an asshole. I'm like, oh no, I meant the baby. And people were like, oh, that's terrible. I'm like, I'm talking about how the father should be called the bastard. The father should be called not the bastard, not the baby. But you can't just say that to people. You have to show it to them. But then people take it the wrong way. It gets frustrating for me, but I know I don't even sit down to write jokes. They just come to me.
Well, I thought it was a great joke, Jackie. I saw on your Showtime Prime Comedy Jam that joke that you just talked about. I thought it was great because I think at some level we do think of these things. Like, that baby's a bastard, or, you know, she's a bitch. Or I think you're just bringing to light these thoughts that we do think but we might not say or don't even want to admit to ourselves. And it's kind of refreshing to have someone just put it fucking out there.
Right, right. Yeah, most people do love it. They get it. But some people are like, how dare you say the word bastard or about a baby? Like, come on. Like, it makes me crazy. But I'm getting better at dealing with it. It's not I detach with love.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've been in your own personal process being a comedian and working with these different dilemmas and energies to be your authentic self up there, yet knowing that it might not please everyone, and then having to work and self-soothe around that.
Yeah, I have an album coming out and I've been getting great reviews. In the reviews, they're also saying that I'm raunchy. They're like, she's raunchy without being crass. And the jokes are smart. And I'm like, raunchy? I don't see myself as raunchy.
Yeah.
And, I guess I am raunchy. It's interesting. It's interesting. But it's just the stuff that comes out of me. But, I'm just using regular life stuff. But, I have a very dark sense of humor. It's very dark. But I don't joke about dark things just for the hell of it. Mm-hmm. It's something that comes to my mind and I've made a joke out of it. You know, like, it's the jokes actually just come to me and then I say it. You know, I'm not intentionally like, ooh, let me write a joke about death. Like, no, it's just something will come to me and then I say it on stage.
Well, I know that one of the topics you did have a hard time with for a while was making jokes about cancer after your dear friend Nicole passed away, and that you had to work mm-hmm. through some of those personal feelings before addressing that topic. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, that was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. But man, I'm telling you, I had a really hard childhood with my parents. Mm-hmm. And I think because I had that hard childhood, I'm very grateful for it, because I was able to be there for my friend Nicole, where a lot of people weren't able to be there because we were so young. We were kids. They didn't know how to deal with it. But I would reach out to people and be like, can you, like, friends of hers, and be like, can you be there for her? And they just couldn't. And I was like, and then finally I was like, if you can't be there for her, can you be there for me? Like, yeah. I'm like, my mother was useless. So I was just a young kid dealing with my friend dying. And her family was amazing, though. So thank God for them.
Yeah.
But it was rough, but I felt like I could be there. I could be there for her. And I wanted more than anything to switch bodies with her for a year so I could fight for her and for her life, and she could enjoy mine.
That's beautiful.
Because she never really got to do a lot of things that, you know, everybody else took for granted. Because she had cancer from 15 and died when she was 22. And, you know, she had a bone marrow transplant, so she had a little time in between where, you know, she had fun. For a while, we went to Barbados together. The Bahamas. We went to Bahamas together.
Yeah.
But then it came back, and it was very, very hard. It was a tough time, but it really made me never want to take my life for granted because she fought so hard to keep hers. And I also, I can't live without being my best version of myself. Like, I can't, it's kind of a pain in the ass. I'm very disciplined and vigilant with myself because I want to be the best version of myself. And I think Nicole, if you believe whatever, I believe in energy. I believe her energy is always with me, helping me.
I'm sensing what a beautiful gift you were to each other. Just how beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Wow. Thank you for talking about that.
Of course. Thank you for finding that. I don't know where you found that,
You're welcome.
But it's nice to honor her.
Absolutely.
I love
her. Yes. So will you tell us about your album coming out called These Lips, as in LIPS, coming out December 14th. Talk to us about that.
Well, the title, I'm going to give away the title joke. Why it's called These Lips is I talk about how one of the jokes is I'm jealous of men, not really jealous of them, but they have one excuse that I can't use. And that is, I'm so sorry I wasn't thinking with this head. I was thinking with this one, and all is forgiven. So if I said anything that offended you, I need you to know I didn't say it with these lips. I said it with these. So that's the joke for these lips. I'm using it as an excuse for my offensiveness. Because I might offend people, even though I'm not. My goal is not to offend people; it's to teach people and unify people, and make them laugh hysterically while doing that. You know, while learning. Okay, so I'm very proud of this album. I recorded it 6 months ago, and the Uproar Comedy is the producer of the album, and so they're releasing it December 14th. And you can pre-order it now on iTunes, and I would love for everybody to pre-order it. Because then I'll be on the iTunes list. But and I got some good reviews so far, so I'm really excited about it. It's my first album. It's my debut album.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, and I think what you're talking about, these lips, the lips down there, really do direct. I mean, it's our passion. It's our intuitive center in a lot of ways as women. And we haven't been given permission until, I think, more recent times in our culture to lead from that knowing, you know, like from our passion, from our sexual center. So I think what you're saying is really important for women to give themselves permission, give ourselves permission.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
And you also...
Yeah, I recently quit drinking. I talk about drinking in the album, though, in a positive way, and it is positive, but I feel like for me, I think it's funny, I feel like I had a drink through the patriarchy, and I'm liking being very clear-headed for taking it down.
How is that? That's a really big decision to make, to stop drinking alcohol. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
It was kind of Wayne Dyer. I saw an interview with Wayne Dyer, and someone said, like, you can't be fully present if you're drinking. And he was like, well, what if I have one beer a night? And they were like, no, if you really want to do this, you got to quit drinking. And I was like, ugh, all right. Because I really want, same, like I just said about Nicole, like, if I'm going to, as soon as I learned that, like, once you learn something, you can't go back.
Right.
So once I learned that about Wayne Dyer, you know, that you had to quit drinking if you wanted to be connected completely, I was like, Darn it. But I still drank for like 3 more years and then I quit. Yeah. So, and I just love it. Now I'm addicted to clarity, I have to say.
Well, and I'm thinking that you're really connected to your inner being, Jackie. And
yeah, I really am. That through yeah. You.
I feel that as you're talking.
Thank you. Yeah. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I'm crazier than ever, which is amazing. Thank God. And I just found out some people have compared me to Jonathan Winters, which I was just like blown away with because I love Jonathan Winters.
Yeah.
And, someone told me recently that when he quit drinking, he couldn't do comedy anymore. And I was like, thank God. No, I didn't. I learned that now, because if I had learned that, prior, I might not have been able to quit. You know, I might have been like, I might have used it as an excuse not to quit.
Well, and I'm sensing, since you've said you're a highly sensitive person and intuitive, that the non-drinking is helping you really be more clear in your comedy and stage presence and everything.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm.
So have you?
Yeah, and I'm crazier than ever, because I think before I was like, ooh, let me, I don't know. I feel like I reeled myself in more, and now I'm like, oh no, I can do whatever I want. I know I'm doing the right thing.
Yes.
Like there's no second guessing. So it's not like, oh, when I do something, it's not like someone's like, oh, she's drunk or she's drinking. That's why she's doing that. Like, no, that's me. I'm like, I just yell out. I can't help it. Like if there's like a crowd of people, I'll just like yell out, that's it. I'm going live and pretend that I don't know where that what came from. And people just look around like, why is somebody threatening us with going live?
Well, I think that made
and
you...
And I pretend that...
Go on, yeah, and then I'll say. I think that made you really hilarious as a gay expert on your reel. Like, just asking people...
Yeah.
One of the things, asking a couple, do you know gay marriage is being forced now in New York City? It was just hilarious. So I can see you just busting up with whatever you feel inspired to... put out there.
Exactly. Yeah, I make myself laugh a lot.
So I wanted to ask you, because I know we have to end early, what it's been like for you to be in movies, acting alongside Molly Shannon in Wild Nights with Emily and the other films you've been in. How is that for you in comparison to being on the stage live?
I loved it. And I loved meeting Molly Shannon, I have to say. She's an amazing person, and I just love her so much. And I like the way she walks through the world. And it was nice to see somebody walk through the world in such a lovely way as she does. You know, she's hysterical and caring and direct, and just she's a beautiful human being. So it was wonderful working with her and so funny. And working in movies, I didn't even want to work in movies. I just wanted to do stand-up. And Madeline, who's now my best friend, talked me into doing Codependent Lesbian Space Alien, Speak Same. And then my part kept getting bigger because I just wanted to keep doing more and more stuff. So when I was just supposed to have a little part. And then we co-wrote, she mostly wrote it, but then I wrote part of and starred in the next movie, The Foxy Merkins, that we did together. If you get my album, if somebody gets my album and you can send to me that you got my album before December 14th, I'll give you a link to the Foxy Merkins. Because you can get it on Amazon, but I'll send you a link to the Foxy Merkins as well. And it went to Sundance and sold out there, and it was nominated for Independent Spirit Award. I'm so proud of it. It was really, really funny.
I saw a little clip of it, and it was hilarious, just the little excerpt.
Oh, good. You saw it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. But Wild Nights with Emily has got distribution, so everybody's going to be able to see it in theaters. So I play Molly Shannon's sister, and it's a beautiful movie. I loved it.
Yes, it was. It was. You know, also, you are starting your own show here in Los Angeles in Culver City on January 23rd at The Rush. Will you tell us about that?
Yes, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to have a show that I could just walk to. Like, I'm really in Culver City. Everything's so far away. So it's going to be called Sober, Not Sober. And the girl I'm co-producing it with, Sarah Kenny, she She's a functioning alcoholic and calls herself that. And she's very funny. And she's going to talk about, and so there'll be comics that drink and talk about drinking, and there'll be sober comics as well. So
that's
it's
great.
A little bit for everybody.
And really in alignment with what you've been doing in your personal life to stop drinking. And
right.
Really cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be really fun. And I'll have put my favorite comics on it. And it's a restaurant, so anybody could come and eat and drink. It's a great restaurant, too. It's going to be fun.
Oh, that sounds really fun. So January 23rd, will that be on your website for people to know about, JackieMonahan.com?
Yes, and on my Facebook.
Okay. So what else would you like our listeners to know, Jackie?
And Instagram. Yeah. What else? I'm such a dork. I want everybody to know that we're going through a hard time right now, and we have to look at these things, but we don't have to feel them. We don't have to close our hearts and harden ourselves. We have to stay as joyful as we can while experiencing the change. But doing the next right thing in every moment and laugh the whole way. What a dork I am. Oh, God. But get my album.
You know, I like that because I think when times are hard collectively in our culture and politics and natural disasters, that there is the impulse to close our hearts down, to isolate, to withdraw. And I think that healing is found when you still take the risk to be open to others.
Yeah.
And that's how we heal. We heal in connection to each other and with each other as human beings. And so I like what you're saying. And laughter can help just smooth over the rough edges of things.
100%. Yeah. It helps give you a different perspective.
Yeah. And I think it takes a special person, like how you can take serious things and bring out humor in them. That hasn't always been easy for me. I'm intense and see things just kind of in this more serious way. So it's been helpful for me as a therapist to be able to embrace humor as a healing modality. So I think what you're doing is in alignment with psychological healing and processing of some of the most difficult things.
Yeah, it's important.
I have a last question, if
that's
okay.
Thank you.
The last question is, what do your parents think about your career?
They love it, even though they discourage me left and right. they love it. They love it. My dad, he said he was proud of me, but now he had esophageal cancer and then he had two strokes. So he's not really that conscious right now. So but before that happened, he was proud of me.
I'm glad.
And my mom loves it. My mom loves it. She loves the attention it brings her.
That's great. I'm glad you had the courage to be yourself because it can be hard sometimes if we're not really supported to be that you had the strength to keep, to tap into that and be you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad I did too.
Well, thank you for being my guest today, and I look forward to getting your album, These Lips,
pre-ordering it on iTunes.
And I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much. I as well, yes.
Okay, Jackie.
Let me know when you're in L.A.
I will. Okay. I will. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
That concludes my show with comedian, actor, writer, and producer Jackie Monahan. You can find her at JackieMonahan.com, and her album is due out December 14th, These Lips, and can be pre-ordered on iTunes. So we still have a few minutes for my show, and I wanted to take the opportunity to just kind of check in with you all as listeners with what you might want. If there's anything you've done in your life this week that's kind of been out of the ordinary, and I'm bringing that up because I did something completely out of the ordinary and it was really awesome. And so I just want to, in the last few minutes I'm going to take today, encourage you to do something that you might have thought I want to do this one day when I have some time, and just schedule it and just get your ass there. So one of the things I have wanted to do is become a better public speaker, not only for this podcast, but for the future when I do want to speak to live audiences. And as much as that feels anxiety producing, as I think it does for most people, there's also like a curiosity within me to step out in that way. And I've always heard about, on one hand, Dale Carnegie speaking classes, which I did attend in eighth grade with my dad when I was young. And I've heard of Toastmasters. And I always wondered, what is a Toastmaster? So I Googled it, and a lot of you might know this, but it's becoming a master at toast, making toasts at public ceremonies and such. That's how the name originated. So I brought my ass to a Toastmasters meeting 2 nights ago in my neighborhood, and it was the most welcoming and supportive environment. And I would encourage any of you who want to just help yourself be a more relaxed conversationalist to attend a Toastmasters meeting. There, it was a group. We all sat around a round table, and a couple of people had prepared speeches of 5 minutes in duration. And then they did something called table topics, where a moderator would just call you up and give you a quote to talk about. So he asked if I would like one. And I said, sure, this is why I'm here. Let me just jump in. And it was really exciting to stand up and just in an impromptu way talk about that quote and what it meant to me. And at the end, so everyone got to speak at the meeting in some way, shape, or form. And at the end, they had people that were watching for grammar, watching for if you were using extraneous words, like those kind of things. And they each did a count. And I had two of those moments, I think saying or something like that. And at the end, they gave out the best speaker under the different categories that were happening that night. And to my surprise, I was awarded best speaker for the table topics. And I found it to be just really affirming and helped to boost my confidence to keep doing this podcast and just keep learning how to relate to people in an authentic way. And it got me thinking to put out to you all as my listener, you know, we think of superpowers, what's our superpower? And I've been thinking, what's your star power? What is something that you might have been born with that might take a little work to develop? And I think that's a star power. And for me, I know it's about being authentic and having the courage to say what I think and feel, even if I'm not sure how it'll be received. And I think some people, I'm not going to say all people, I think some people struggle with that end of it. And then I see other people feeling so, I don't know that it's necessarily confident, comfortable, just putting out there what they think and feel without regard. So I'm exploring where I am on this spectrum of speaking with authenticity without like diminishing the strength of what I have to say versus being like a bulldozer, hammering people with it. So that was just something really exciting that I did this week that was new, and I look forward to going back next week. So I just want to encourage you as my listener to find something that might have been on your to-do list or a brand new idea that might inspire you to just take a few moments each day to tune in to yourself and see what comes up that you can do to push yourself, something that feels scary, yet also there's some curiosity. I think that's that sweet spot of where we need to go, where we can encourage ourselves to go. And lastly, I really, really want your email. Please go to nolatherapy.com. There's a link to register your email. I am desiring to build my email list so that I can have a really successful book launch in 2019. Next week, my manuscript is being pitched to my number one desired publisher, and I welcome you and invite you to send some good, positive energy there. I feel really excited to move this along. I've spent 2 years writing what feels like a cave. It's been really intense writing on core wounding, yet I know that it's going to be something of benefit. It has been for me to really excavate patterns and habits and things that I'd like to change or be more comfortable with. And I know I'm just one person of billion. So I hope that this is something that is useful for you and to you in your life. And it can only get out there if there's people to receive it. So please go to nolatherapy.com, register your email, share my YouTube channel, Nola Therapy, and just connect. I'm really about connecting with others and just helping lift up us. So with that, thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, week, and I look forward to being with you next week. Bye-bye.
Indeed, listening is the new reading. With Audible, you can listen to an unlimited amount of books at home, in your car, at the gym, anywhere on the go. With over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from. For you, the listener of all things therapy, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a month-long subscription for you to try them out. Visit audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy now. And enjoy.
Do you want to help yourself and friends find a purpose in life?
Then you are in the right place and be a part of the crowdfunding campaign of patreon.com/allthingstherapy
with Lisa Tahir as she initiates a one-on-one interaction with inspiring authors, healing experts, and spiritual directors. Join the League of Heroes of this generation by contributing your quota between $1 up to $100 per month
at patreon.com/allthingstherapy.
And let's make the world free of suicide, poverty, depression, and in all, make the world a better place for everyone.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir.